We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Today we're going to continue our study that we began a few weeks ago. And we've been reminded, and I've been desiring to remind us by way of just the title itself, what it tells us is that our Creator has designed us for a purpose. There is an intent that He has wired you. There is a purpose for which He has created you. And we would do well to find out what that purpose is so that we can thrive in the ways and flourish in the ways that He desires for us to flourish. And so we've been talking about this. This will be now the third week that we look at this divine design. And today we're going to look at knowing that God has wired us so that we would be a knowledgeable people, that we would be a knowing people. And we're going to see how that applies to us right out of this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 here in just a moment. There's a popular Frank Sinatra song from many, many years ago called I Did It My Way. Maybe you've heard that. There's a Hallmark movie, many, all of them, I guess, that say you should follow your heart. This is what you should do. You can find a Nike slogan of just do whatever you believe is right, whatever it feels like is right to you. That's what you should do. As you read through different messages that are sent to us from several media outlets, whatever it is, social media, the news, doesn't matter, whatever it is that we find ourselves in front of when culture has presented a message, they often send messages like this, follow your heart, make all these things happen, and really the only knowledge that matters is knowledge that's true to you. If it seems true to you, then it must be true. That's the way that works, and you know the way that the world often says that it works. Paul told Timothy that this is foolish and unlearned wisdom. It's really the antithesis of wisdom when we can be so arrogant to think that I've invented something in my mind that must be right, and so I've convinced myself that it's right, therefore it must be right. That way, 2 + 2 = 5, because I believe it, and that's the way that should be. And this has been something that has permeated our society, certainly in recent days. History is filled and filled with masses of people that have just gone with the culture, that have just gone with whatever it is that you know, they're drinking the Kool-Aid, we would say. They're continually drinking in all of these things. Some people just are following the cultural norms, whatever it is. We just don't want to make any waves. We're just going to go along with the flow. And by the millions, people have followed and gone the proverbial flow of the day. This is what has happened. And in the midst of those days, in the midst of all of these days, God raises up a people that He desires to speak truth on His behalf. He desires for us to communicate knowledge on His behalf. He desires for us to be a knowledgeable people. And He's called us to do something more than the cultural norm, more than the cultural, you know, trends and whatnot of the particular era, wherever you're at. He's called us to do something beyond that, something beyond what the world would experience. And God desires for us to live beyond that, to live a divine design, what it is that God has for us. You know, when the Lord saved us, when the Lord saved me, I was so thankful. I look back and see the time, and I still remember my mama leading me to the Lord. I remember that moment. I didn't know much then. I don't know much now, I guess, but I didn't know much then. You don't understand really what happens at the moment you get saved, do you? I mean, you don't truly understand really what all is transpiring. I knew I was a wicked sinner, and He was a wonderful Savior. I knew I didn't want to go to hell. I knew there was a penalty for my wrongdoing, and the wrong that I had done, even as a young boy, was enough to send me to a place called hell, and I didn't want that. And Jesus said, hey, you don't have to do that. And He died on a cross for me. And He says, I am offering you this free gift of eternal life with no strings attached to it. I want you to have it. And I'm like, well, sign me up. And this is what I wanted, and this is what I desired to have. And so when I trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior, it's this wonderful, 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 wonderful thing, right? And as I understand it, and the more that I grow in the Scriptures, and the more that I understand what it is that God does and God has is doing, the more amazed, really, we all should be at what all has transpired and what all God is doing. When we examined our first message together, we looked at the fact that we were created for God, not just by God, but for Him. And not only that, we were created for a purpose. We were created for substance, not just existence like an animal, just to be born and to die, that we have a soul. And there is a purpose for which we are living. And in the weeks ahead, we're going to look that we've been designed for loving, for serving, for giving. And today we're going to look at the fact that we've been designed for knowing. And when you see all of the many things and the ways in which the Spirit works in your life, and when you truly get into the essence of God's Word, the more and more you get saved, the gooder and gooder it gets, right? It's not good English, but it's true, right? The gooder and gooder it gets when you find yourself in God's Word and see what all God is doing and what He has done. And in our text today of how God desires for us to be a knowing people, how we can understand what God is doing and really thrive and flourish in our Christian walk, Paul provides a window. And so we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and we're going to pick up in verse number 9. And we're going to, we read this earlier in worship, and I love this passage. It's so great as you see it. I heard your Pastor Chad read it earlier, but I want your eyes to fall on it here now as we read it together. As it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." This is how we know these things. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." This word is used again multiple times. We'll say that for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of who? It's of God. That we might what? Know. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Again, we're talking about not in the cultural norms of this day and the fads, all of these things. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For he hath known, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul provides for us three different avenues that he takes in this passage, three different knowledge points, if you will, three different folks that he's speaking to. And I want us to unpack this as we look and see how God has wired us for knowledge and how it is that he desires for us to flourish when we accept the knowledge that the Spirit has for us. And so Roman number one, knowledge for the believer. We see this in verses 9 through 13. Knowledge for the believer, when you come to know Christ as your Savior, comes one way. And it doesn't come through a trendy book. It doesn't come through cultural things or whatever. The knowledge that we have comes from the Holy Spirit. The scripture, we just read it. All the knowledge that we have comes directly from him and by him. The Holy Spirit will guide you into truth. It's his job to reveal truth to you, to show you truth, to take the lens off. He desires to do this. And if he didn't do this, we would have no way of understanding God. There's no way that this could happen. This is what the theologians call illumination. Now, two men might be able to understand one another if they start speaking about idiosyncrasies of their particular job, if they find themselves in the same area of employment, if they find themselves in the same area of the workplace. You know, two ladies can sit and talk about nursing or can talk about, you know, working in a doctor's office. It doesn't matter. When you find yourself with a similar point of view, right, you have some common ground to begin to talk. You have some common ground to be able to exchange dialogue. Two folks might be able to understand each other when they're talking about a headache. Two moms might be able to get together and talk about the pressures of motherhood. But who can understand God unless God himself tell us? Right? I mean, there's no other commonality that you have to be able to sit and talk with somebody unless the Spirit himself reveal things about God. It's the only way that we're going to know it. Where does this understanding of God's imparted knowledge come from? How do we get that? It comes from the Holy Spirit. He gives us what it is that we need to know. We find in John chapter number 14, Jesus is speaking. He says, "And I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you." How long? That's pretty good, right? Forever. He shall abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth where? He dwelleth in you. You have him within you. We're going to revisit that here in just a moment. And he shall be with you. You have the Holy Spirit living there within you. And if you don't have him, you know it. If you do have him, you know it. I love that old song that says, "You ask me how I know he lives." Right? I know he lives. He lives within my heart. If you don't know that, boy, there's nothing. You don't need. Don't pass go. Do not collect $200. You do not need to keep going. You can settle that tonight. To be able to say, I don't know if I know the Spirit's working in my life, then we ought to settle that right here and right now. I want us to look at several things that these verses bring out, and we'll hit them pretty quickly. When we look at the knowledge of the believer, the knowledge that the believer has for us, equipped to us by the Spirit, we see that the Spirit will search the believer. We see this in verse number 10. The Spirit will search the believer, and we see that in the last part there. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Holy Spirit, deep inside of man, communicates two things. He talks about it here in this passage. He communicates really about manhood, about our humanity. He communicates to us about ourselves and about all the things that God has prepared for humanity. The things that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, he desires to be able to communicate these things to us. This is what Paul was talking about in verse number 9. He has all kinds of wonderful things in store for us, for me and for you. The Lord will search your heart. The Holy Spirit will search your heart and will reveal things to you that you need to know. Jeremiah 17:10 says, "The Lord searches the heart." He says he tries the reins and gives to every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doings. And so we see that the Spirit, he is going to search our lives. He's going to search our heart. He's going to search our mind. But he not only does that, he, letter B, that will teach the believer. He will teach the believer. We see in verse number 11, "For he knoweth the things of man, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." He is the one that will teach. The Spirit is the one that will guide us into all truth. He is the one that will be able to communicate to us what truth is and be able to relay to us pertinent facts that we need to be able to learn. Real truth does not come from human teachers, but it comes from the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Do you get that? Real truth doesn't come, it comes from the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And anybody else that wants to teach about, you know, we speak about this all the time and warn about these things. We're going to talk about this at the end of the message. But whenever we have all these quick fixes for things or we have all these pragmatic approaches to things, this is not how God works. God desires to use his word to change people's lives. He desires to use his word to change your life, his word to change my life. This is the basis, the bedrock, the foundation of how our faith should be held together. Apart from the Spirit, we cannot know truth. The Comforter, John 14:26 says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things," the Scripture says. He'll teach them to you. But he doesn't just search you. He doesn't just teach you. You find that he also, letter C, the Spirit will mature the believer. You know, once we begin this relationship with the Holy Spirit, he will enable us to rise to a different level. Spiritually speaking, he will enable us to get to a different level of spiritual growth. The Holy Spirit desires for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our life so that we can mature in our walk with him. We read in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. We talk about this all the time or quite frequently. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. All of these things ought to be byproducts of us spending time with the Spirit, of us knowing him and allowing him to speak truth into our life. There should be a spiritual maturity that is about us. There should be an increasingness. Is that a word? Increasingness of our faith. There should be a growing of our faith. That's a better way to say it. There should be a growing of our faith. There should be a growing of our ability to give mercy. There should be a growing in our area of self-control. All of these things should be taking place in our life. The Lord searches us and teaches us and matures us. And the scriptures talk about how in the world does all this happen? Well, here's the little hint. It's an inside job because it's the Holy Spirit there and living within you. Letter D, the Spirit will indwell the believer. We see that in verses 12 and 13. Yet he is in us. From the moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and indwelled within you. We've already read a couple of verses like that, but here's another one, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? The scriptures speak about this, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. You know, man did not go on a mission to find God. Man didn't go on a mission to discover truth. He received the truth. There came a point in time, you didn't do anything to all of a sudden come to a point that you had to accept. You had to do one thing, and that was surrender. God pursued you, and God came after you, and you had to come to a point that you surrendered. And this is this moment where you finally decide, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit indwell me. I'm going to let him come into my life. There is a surrender. There is a repentance. There's this knowledge that the scripture says is for the believer. But there's a second group of people that Paul addresses. He addresses the lost in verse number 14. As we look in verse number 14, the scripture says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, it's really clear when you look at verses 11 through 13 that he's speaking to the saved person. He's speaking to the person who wants to know, is desiring to know. God has a word for him, and he says, I want to use the Spirit to help you know things. I want to use the Spirit to help speak life into you. I want to use the Spirit to help mature you and to help teach you and to help grow you. And then he changes and says, but now I want to communicate and talk about knowledge for the lost. The truth is that God wants to be able to speak to his people, but the lost person doesn't understand. He's in foreign territory when it comes to trying to understand God's word. Doesn't understand, doesn't equate, it doesn't make sense. He needs the Spirit to save him and illuminate his mind so he can see the truth. Scripture says that he receiveth us not. He does not receive the scriptures. He doesn't. There's nothing that is tactile, that makes sense. There's nothing that he can put his hand around. It's wildness, it's foolishness, it's silly, it's all of the insulting words that oftentimes when you're witnessing to somebody that they'll take time to throw at you. Paul said to the church in Corinth, in the chapter before, the preaching of the cross is, you guys know the verse, is foolishness. It's foolishness to those that perish, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Preaching is just plain crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's just foolish, and the natural man doesn't understand it. Now, you want to talk about Vegas. You want to talk about movies. You want to talk about getting drunk. You want to talk about gambling all your money away. You want to talk about all kinds of, he'll meet you there. And all that makes sense. Talk about the Bible or salvation or the blood of Christ, that's weird. There's a guy who wrote a book several years ago. His name is Craig Groeschel, and you might know him as the guy who, his church actually is the one that invented that YouVersion app that many of you have. And this guy wrote this book called Weird. And the subtitle is Because Normal Isn't Working Anymore. And he started to say that when I was witnessing to somebody, and as I was witnessing to them, they would say, oh, you go to church? That's weird. Oh, you actually pray? That's weird. You talk to somebody else and they'd say, oh, you actually serve in it? That's weird. You actually give money to the, that's weird. And he says, and I got to where I was feeling weird. He said, and then finally it occurred to me, as I was reading the book, he says, I realized what normal was. And normal is broken homes, broken lives, lives of addictions, life of trouble, life of calamity, life of lostness, life of hollowness. He said, and I finally embraced the weird because it is, we are a peculiar people and God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, out of the cultural norms of this day to be a knowing people that can proclaim his goodness, that can proclaim his gospel, then could proclaim his grace. The lost person cannot receive scripture and he cannot understand scripture. He says there, neither can he know them. Now, did you know that it is entirely possible for you to read the Bible and not understand it? You did know that, didn't you? You're like, oh yeah, yeah, to read the scriptures, and the prime example of that, if you don't already convinced of that as you read through the scriptures, is the scribes and the Pharisees, right? Of Jesus's day, these folks, as you read through the Gospels and you just read passage after passage, and Pastor's been going through Mark, and you start to read it, and of course, as Pastor said, we see things on the other end, so we're like, these guys are stupid, but we'd be stupid if we were there, right? And so we look at it, and these guys, they've studied the Scriptures, right? I mean, they have read it and read it and read it and studied it. They had become lawyers of the law there that Moses had laid off. I mean, they had laid out, they had studied the mess out of it, just gotten all the way through it, and yet they missed the centrality of the entire gospel and missed the fact that Jesus is the Savior of the world, missed the fact that the Messiah is coming, and they've put all of these things, and they've read all of this stuff and became very educated in it, but did not understand it like they should. And we can't understand it like we should without the Spirit. The scripture says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So we have been divinely designed by God to be a knowing people. He desires for his Spirit to be teaching us, to be instructing us, to be maturing us, and he does that by indwelling us. He has this opposite message for people who are not Christians, are not saved, do not have the Spirit inside of them. They cannot understand it. The Spirit can't illuminate that because they haven't yet surrendered to the Spirit. They haven't taken time to do that. Now, this is where I've driven everything to here at this moment. All that was introduction, even though it was point one, point two, right? All that was just to be able to communicate this knowledge for the spiritual. You're here on a Wednesday night, so that automatically means it's you, right? No, maybe not. This is where he is driving this portion to. He's driving straight to this passage. Paul has already listed what knowledge looks like for a believer and what it looks like for a lost person, but what does it look like for the person who is saved? What does it look like for the spiritual person? You see, the key to spiritual maturity, we understand this, we speak about it many different times, is having the mind of Christ. Us taking time to be able to be thinking the thoughts of Christ, to be dwelling upon him, and what are we supposed to do with this divine knowledge? What are we supposed to do when we understand the things of God, when we have the Spirit of God teaching to us and maturing us and helping us? What are we supposed to do with this information supplied to us in the power of God, through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God? What is it that we're supposed to do? Letter A, godly discernment. There is a profound lack of discernment among God's people in so many different arenas of life. To be spiritual means that you can discern or that you can judge things. Scripture was speaking of this. This does not mean that you're gifted with the ability to criticize. It's not a spiritual gift. That is not, we are not to be wired that way, but it does mean that we should have insight because the Holy Spirit's living inside of us. He has taught us, he has empowered us, he has matured us because he has indwelled us. And so now we have the ability to be able to take God's word and to be able to use godly discernment to decide whether something's right or wrong. To decide based off of God's word and not off of opinion, not off anything else, but based off of God's word, whether something is spiritual or carnal. This is something that we are called to do as God's people. Philippians 1 says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. What does this mean? It means when something supernatural occurs, when there's something that you really can't explain, when there's something that happens and people attribute it to supernatural causes, you don't automatically run to joy. Right? You don't automatically just come back and say, well, man, but this, listen carefully, listen, everything, you've heard this before, but when you, everything that God has, the devil has a counterfeit for. Everything. And we'll see something and people are like, oh, I had a dream and I had this and I just know it was of God. Do you? Really? Well, I just have this spiritual experience. Okay. Are you sure? I mean, can we go to God's word and validate what it is that has happened? See, if you study your Bible, I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians. I want you to look at a piece of passage with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as you're turning there, if you study your Bible and you go all the way back to Genesis, what you're going to discover is that Jesus created this host of heavenly beings called angels. And as he created these angels, all of these hosts in heaven are worshiping God. And then a third of them decided, we're going to rebel against God and we're not going to be about what God's about. Third of them rebel. Two-thirds of them stayed angels, worshiping God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Michael and Gabriel and the whole, I mean, they stayed. Two-thirds of them worshiping God and they stayed angels. The other third, they're demons. Demons and angels. This is what happens. And so the copy and the counterfeit, what they do is copy and counterfeit everything that God does. And they have the ability to do that because they are spiritual beings. The leader of these demons is a man, a guy, an individual called Satan. I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 3. He says this, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Why? So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And Paul said, remember not, he said, remember me talking to you about this? This way, do you remember when I was with you, this is what I was telling you about. Remember not that I told you that when I was with you, I told you of these things. And now you know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. He's speaking of Satan here. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who will now be, who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He's speaking of the spirit the Antichrist, there's so much here. He talks about it, verse number 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. The Lord is more powerful. He said the Lord is more powerful than anything the devil has, anything they can throw at you, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. He's like, I just breathe on them and they fall over. This is he's in charge. He's omnipotent and shall destroy them with the brightness of his coming, even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a what? That they might be, that's hard language, isn't it? That they will be damned who believe not the truth, but they chose to have pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen, Satan doesn't come to you. He doesn't come to me and say, hi, my name's Satan. Would you want to join a cult and drink Kool-Aid and live forever in hell with me? That's not a good sales pitch. That's not the way this works. This is not how this is. He is a deceitful person, a deceitful individual. He will come up to you and ask you if you want to have self-esteem. Do you want to have spiritual power or see into the spirit world? Would you like to see the future? Would you like to have a healing or a miracle? Would you like to be right and look to yourself for internal worth? Would you like to be able to look to yourself for inner guidance and be able to believe all the best things of whatever you want to believe? Look to yourself and not to God. And people are signing up by the truckloads. Paul's like, I talked to you about this. I told you. I desire for the Spirit to be able that for the believer, God desires for the Spirit to be able to teach us, to mature us, to help us. And he does that by indwelling us. He can't do that to the lost person, but when it comes to the spiritual person, he says that we ought to be, verse 15 and 16, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, whether it's right or wrong, whatever it is, and he's judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. There are people that claim to be preaching Christ, and they are liars, and they're crooks, and they're deceitful, and they're selling books in bookstores, and they're on TV, and there's all kinds of different nonsense that they're quoting. And we, as God's people, have to be discerning. God has designed us to be a knowing people, has designed us to be developing the mind of Christ, has designed his word in such a way that he desires for the Spirit of God to interpret the word of God so that we can know the will of God and that we won't be tossed about as children to and fro believing crazy things and believing awful things. 2 Corinthians 11 says, for such false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 14. For such false prophets are deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. He says, and don't marvel, for Satan himself has transformed into an angel of light. He himself is doing these things, and he is his protégés doing these kinds of things, and we have to be aware. I saw this dream. I saw this spirit. I saw this thing, and I talk to people all the time who have this, and sometimes they're in church, like, I had this dream, and I saw this spirit, and what was the spirit, God, or was it not? Well, I don't know. Does it matter? It matters. Yeah. It matters. You know, is it a spirit? Is it a demon? What is it? Let's take time to understand what things is. Well, I'm into spirituality. That's beautiful. What spirit? What does that look like? Oh, yeah, I'm into the coexistence. Okay, well, we're talking different language then. A knowing people. This is what we are supposed to be. A knowing people, a people that are knowing the word and knowing the scriptures and are staying in contact. Some are demons, and I believe in God. That's great. Which one? Because for everything that God has, the devil has a counterfeit for. And we must be a discerning people and a knowing people and a knowledgeable people. Come and say all gods are the same. All ways lead to a higher power. The important thing is that the important thing is that it works for you. That's the important thing. And that's really all that matters. And there's one word for that, demonic. There's one word for that, it's heresy. You know, that might feel good down here, but when you die, it doesn't work, and that's when you really need it, right? Jesus is the answer, and the demons in that world don't want you to see that. They want you to be religious, which is, by the way, where demons hide. That's where they hide. We are designed to be a knowing people. The Spirit has indwelled us, and he is desired by his Spirit and through the Word of God to mature us, to teach us, to search our hearts. He can't do that to the lost person, so he comes to the spiritual person. He says, have some godly discretion. Be able to know what is right and what is wrong, what is carnal and what is righteous. Not only godly discernment, but godly direction. Godly direction. What? God desires for you to take the knowledge of what you've gleaned from his word and the Spirit has interpreted with you to set the trajectory of your life in a positive direction, in a vertical direction that is allowing you to increase in knowledge of the Son of God, that your mind is equipped to be more like him, that you are growing in the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, this godly direction. The lost man doesn't understand the choices that a spiritual man makes. Is that fair to say? Doesn't make sense. Like, why would you do these things? Why would that happen? Romans 8, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Talk the direction of Vegas, talk football, talk drinking, talk movies. They're right there with you. But talk about the Bible, and he can't hang with you. Because the lost can't understand this direction. and you get around somebody that starts acting like they're spiritual. And it's funny, you know, sometimes it's blatantly obvious that you'll get around somebody and they'll find out that you go to church, or in my case, they'll find out I'm a pastor, they'll say something, and they start using words of, one guy tried to say blessed and blesseth in the same word. He's like, I have a blessed today. And I'm like, okay, you know, we don't talk like that. You know, as your parishioners are, you know, he just starts talking in his different language and saying these things and putting it on. Some people are very good, right, at being able to put on an act, and you start taking them deep into the scriptures. Is there a godly direction that is about their life? Is there a godly trajectory that is their course? You'll find very quickly, even people who are sitting beside you in church perhaps, and you start talking about deep things of God and having a time of prayer with somebody, and you see a widening of the road. Are you really about what you say you're about? So you were designed to do more than work, eat, sleep, play, and repeat. You were. You were designed for more than that. You were designed to do more than just be an animal that just exists. I don't plan anything. I don't do anything. I just exist. I get up and I do my thing and leave. God didn't design you that way, and you're living a hollow existence if you're doing that. I am designed for God. I am designed to live with purpose and intentionality, and I am designed for knowledge, and the knowledge is something that God desires to supply through his word and desires to allow his spirit to interpret to me, and this is what he wants to do in your life. The purpose of your life is greater than the daily grind of mundane task. You were designed for knowledge, to know. Get in the word and be in it. God has implanted his spirit within you, and he is granting you untold riches within his pages of scripture. He wants that for you. You were divinely designed to know more than the cultural norms of this that this day has to offer. You were designed for more. God desires for you to live life to the full. He desires for you to have love and joy and peace. And this isn't, you know, lest this sounds like a Joel Osteen thing, that he just wants you happy. Listen, enough of that. God desires for you to be a student of his word. He desires for the Spirit to be able to equip you and to empower you and to embolden you. And he'll do that because he lives there inside of you. He'll do his part. We have to do our part.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons, or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.